Masechet Makot, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph. This Perek will talk about Edim Zomemim. We mentioned in the last Mishnah of Masechet Sanhedrin about Edim Zomemim. We'll continue to elaborate on them in this Perek. Edim Zomemim are witnesses who testified about a certain person, for example, that he committed a certain crime. They testified that they saw the person do it. They testified about the place, the time. They gave clear testimony, and they put a certain person in a situation where he was going to receive punishment. A second pair of witnesses then emerges, and they claim that they saw those first set of witnesses somewhere else during the time where the alleged avera took place. So those first witnesses, it couldn't be that they're telling the truth. So what we do is we believe the second pair of witnesses, and we say that the first pair of witnesses were lying. The Torah tells us about these people, these first set of witnesses. Va'asitim lo ka'asher zamam la'asot le'ahiv. What you do to these false witnesses who are plotting and conspiring to hurt one of their brothers is you give them whatever punishment they intended to cause to the person they were testifying about. For example, let's say they were giving testimony about a certain person that they claimed he committed a murder. And it comes out that other witnesses come and debunk whatever they were claiming and claim that it was false because they saw this first set of witnesses elsewhere. Then we give the death penalty to these first set of witnesses because they were trying to put the death penalty onto somebody else. They were trying to get somebody else killed. Another example, let's say witnesses claim that that a certain man owes another man money, that he owes him $1,000. And it comes out that another set of witnesses emerges and they claim, no, we know that these witnesses weren't there at that time. They couldn't have known that the man owed somebody else $1,000. They were elsewhere. So now those witnesses, the first two who gave the false testimony, now they have to pay $1,000. This Mishnah, though, is going to give the exceptions to the rule where the Zomemim witnesses are unable to be punished with the punishment they were trying to put on to the person they were testifying about. We're going to talk about how they are punished in those situations. Mishnah says, Ketzad ha'edim na'asim zomemim. How are witnesses punished for being zomemim? In other words, if they can't be given the punishment that they try to inflict onto somebody else, how do we punish them? For example, let's say two witnesses come forward and they give testimony about a certain person who's a Kohen, and they say, he's the son of a divorced woman or the son of a woman who did Halitza. In other words, this person we're testifying about's father, who was a kosher good Kohen, he married a woman who he was not allowed to marry. Kohen is not allowed to marry a divorced woman, a Gerusha, or he's not allowed to marry a Halutza, a woman who did Halitza. That means her former husband died and one of his brothers refused to marry him, so she has to go through the whole Halitza, removing of the shoe ceremony. And these witnesses are claiming the person in front of us that they're giving testimony about is a son of that forbidden union, and therefore he's disqualified from the Kehuna. This pair of witnesses is claiming they were there when they saw that the Kohen's mother got divorced, or they saw the Halitza, and they're telling us where it happened in a certain city. They're giving us a clear indication that they know that the divorce or the Halitza happened, and therefore they're able to claim that this Kohen is not a kosher Kohen. But then we have other witnesses emerge who claim, no, this first pair of witnesses, they were not in this location at that time. They were somewhere else. They were living in a different country. So it can't be that they saw the divorce of this Kohen's mother or the Halitza of this Kohen's mother. So they're disqualified. They're Edim Zomemim. So what do we do with them? We have a problem. We don't say that these Zomemim witnesses should be punished. And with whatever they tried to cause the person they were testifying about should happen to them, we're not going to say that they should be considered the son of a divorced woman or the son of a halutza if they were a Kohen, because the Pasuk says, Va'asitem lo ka'asher zamam. Do to them like they plotted against somebody else. Problem is, if we make them a Kohen that's Pasul now, that can't serve in the Beit HaMikdash or can't receive Terumah, can't do Birkat Kohanim, that will also extend to their children. And like we said, the Pasuk is Va'asitim Lo Kasher Zalam. Do to him like he plotted. But we can't do something that's going to extend down to their children as well. So in the event that it was a Kohen who's testifying, we can't go through with the standard punishment that he would have given if his testimony went through by the person he was testifying about. So what do? Ela lo ke'arba'im. We give the zomemim witnesses 40 lashes. The punishment for edim zomemim who cannot be given the punishment they tried to cause to the person they were testifying about is lashes malkut. Next case of the Mishnah where edim are found out to be lying, edim zomemim, me'edin anu bi'ish peloni shu hayav legalut. Let's say witnesses came and they testified that somebody has to go into the galut, into exile, to a ir miklat. In other words, witnesses are saying that they saw somebody kill somebody else by mistake, which would mean that that person who was the killer has to go to the ir miklat. That's their testimony, and they're claiming they were in a certain place at a certain time and they saw that murder. But then other witnesses come forward and they say, no, it can't be. We saw you somewhere else during that time. You couldn't have witnessed that murder. So they tried to cause a man to go into have to go to the Id Miklat. So we don't say that they have to go to the Id Miklat, because the Pasuk says, when talking about the Rotzeach, the murderer who killed by mistake, Hu Yanus, he has to run to the Id Miklat. So we learn that from here. Hu Velo Zomemav, he has to run to the Id Miklat, but not the witnesses who testified falsely against him. So therefore, en omrim yigaleh ze tahtav. We don't say that the witnesses should go into the galut, into exile, to the id miklat, instead of the person they were testifying against. Ela lo ke'arba'im. Like before, since we can't give them the punishment that they tried to cause to somebody, we then say they receive 40 lashes. Next case. Here we'll talk about financial obligation. Usually when edim zomemim are trying to cause somebody else to lose out on money, they have to pay that amount of money as their punishment. Here we'll talk about a situation where we're not going to cause the edim zomemim to pay out that amount of money. We'll talk about a situation where witnesses try to obligate a man to pay his wife the ketubah money. A ketubah is the amount that a husband has to pay his wife in the event that he dies or he gets a divorce. If he dies, his estate has to pay it. If he gets divorced, he has to pay it. And these witnesses, they are coming forward and they're claiming that this couple is divorced. They're not claiming anything about the ketubah, but they're claiming that they know the husband divorced the wife and there's no record of a ketubah being paid. So therefore, mimela, they're causing the husband to have to pay the ketubah. And that's what they're saying. Me'edin anu b'ish peloni shegeresh et ishto. We're giving testimony about this man that he divorced his wife. And we know Vilona Tanla Ketubah. It's known that he did not pay her the ketubah. So when he divorces her, he has to pay her the ketubah. So therefore, the edim are sort of causing the husband to have to pay her the money. It's found out that these witnesses were edim zomemim. They were somewhere else during the time of the divorce. And therefore, we would think that they have to pay the money that they intended to cause the husband to lose. So even though they tried to make the husband pay the full ketubah, that may not be the actual loss that they caused the husband. Why? V'halo, ben hayom uben lemahar sofo liten la ketubah. Because, says the Mishnah, it could be that today or tomorrow, he may actually have to pay her ketubah. If he actually dies, or if he divorces her, he'd be obligated to pay her a ketubah. But on the other hand, let's say the wife dies first. If she dies first, before the husband, he would never have to pay her the ketubah. So the amount that the edim zomemim are actually causing in a loss is not necessarily the full value of the ketubah that the husband is paying right now, because he may tomorrow have to pay her that money. So it's not like we're causing him a loss that's totally unexpected, because he may drop dead tomorrow and then his estate has to pay her the ketubah, or he may decide in a week from now to give her a divorce and he'd have to pay her the ketubah. So the fact that they're causing the ketubah payment to happen now can't be considered to be fully their fault, because he may pay it at a later time anyway. So therefore, what do? We try to determine the amount the zomemim have to pay. What do? Omdim kama adam rotze litin b'ktuvata shel zo. We make an assessment. If a person was trying to buy the rights of this ketubah, how much would he be willing to pay this woman for those rights? What's the valuation? How do you deal with it? She'imnit almena o nitgaresha. If she was widowed or divorced, the buyer who bought the rights to the ketubah would collect the ketubah instead of the wife. V'imeta, but if she died before the husband, then her husband would inherit her, and there would be no ketubah payment, and the person who bought the rights to the ketubah would not get anything. So it's basically a risk analysis of what's the health of this woman, what's the marital status, do they have shalom bayit? A person, if he made an assessment, like an insurance company, what would the ketubah of this woman be worth? What are the odds that the husband is going to die or give her a divorce? Versus what are the odds of the woman dying first? That's the odds a person has to make. And that's the amount that the ketubah is worth. He has to take all this into account. And then, therefore, that's what the ketubah is really worth right now. And that's basically the loss that the edim zomemim are causing to the husband, and therefore that's the amount that they'd have to pay. Next case. Me'idin anu be'ish pelonishu hayav l'havero elef zuz. A pair of witnesses come forward, and they're claiming that a certain person owes his friend 1,000 zuz. Al menat litenan lo mikan va'ad sheloshim yom. And part of the stipulation was that he was going to pay the friend within 30 days. V'hu omer mikan va'ad eser shanim. And then the person they were testifying about says, no, I admit that I owe the money, but the condition that I put into this was I was going to pay back in 10 years, not 30 days. So the witnesses here, eventually they were found out to be zomemim. They have to pay the amount usually that they are trying to cause the person they're testifying about to lose. So that should be 1,000 zuz over here. They tried to make him lose 1,000 zuz, but technically he wouldn't have lost that payment. He admits that he owes that money. So he just if they were right and no other witnesses emerged to show that they were liars, he would just pay back his debt earlier. It's just causing him to lose out on time. So how do we value the calculation of this? Omdim kama adam rotze liten. We make an assessment. How much would a person pay? V'yehyu be'ado elef zuz. If he has a loan in his hand of 1,000 zuz, ben notenan mikan v'ad sheloshim yom, ben notenan mikan v'ad eser shanim. Whether that instead of having to repay that loan within 30 days, he would have the ability to repay that loan within 10 years. If he could extend the loan that he has right now, that's a 30-day loan, to a 10-year loan, how much would he be willing to pay in interest, for example, on that? That's the value of the loss that the Zomemim caused or tried to cause to the person they were testifying about, and therefore that's the amount that they would have to pay. Masechet Makot, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Bet. The rule is whenever somebody commits a lav, they violate a Torah prohibition, they receive malkut, they receive lashes. The question becomes, when a person is an ed zomem, when he gives testimony falsely about somebody else and tries to cause them a certain punishment, we've said that they already receive a punishment in the fact that they now receive the punishment that they were trying to plot on somebody else. Question becomes, do they also receive malkut, or is it simply the fact that they receive that punishment that they were trying to plan for somebody else? Me'idin anu b'ish peloni shehayav l'havero matayim zuz. Let's say we had witnesses who testified that somebody owed his friend 200 zuz. V'nimtzeu zomemin. And it was found out that that person was an ed zomem, that his testifying was false, and he was in a separate place. He was somewhere else when that transaction supposedly occurred. We say lokin umshalemin. He is given malkut for violating a lo ta'aseh, and he also has to pay the 200 zuz that he was trying to cause somebody to lose out on. Shelo Hashem ha-mevi'o lidei makot, mevi'o lidei tashlumin. The reason is, the two punishments that we're talking about over here, malkut, and the fact that he has to pay money, are coming from two separate prohibitions. He's receiving malkut because he gave false testimony, like the pasuk says, "Lo ta'ane bri'acha ed shaker." You shouldn't bear false witness against your friend, and he's obligated to pay as an ed zomem, where the pasuk says, "Va'asitim lo ka'asher zamam." You do to him what he was plotting to do to somebody else. So therefore, he gets both punishments. He has to pay, and he also receives malkut, divrei Rabbi Meir. This is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. V'hachamim omrim, but the rabbis say, they argue on Rabbi Meir, and they say, kol ha'mishalem eno lokeh, whoever pays as an edzomem is not given malkut as well. A person cannot be punished for two separate penalties with one single avera, with one single crime. The edzomem here is paying the 200 zuz for the avera, so they are not given malkut as well. The pasuk says, "Kederish ato." He's punished according to his wickedness, and seemingly it's talking about one single wickedness, and therefore it cannot receive two punishments. This is the idea expressed by the Hachamim. And anytime we have a conflict in should he have to pay or should he receive malkut, mashma, we see from here that he has to pay and he would not receive malkut, as opposed to receiving malkut and not having to pay.